Hare Krishna, welcome. Good to see you all. I just got back from India on Friday night. Still a little bit jet lagged. I have a cough. So I'll try to give class, but just my voice isn't good. Not strong. So tonight, we'll continue. Adi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 10. Chapter 10 is called. Everyone just sit down. Sit down. Just listen. Chapter 10. Tonight, chapter 10 is called The Branches of the Chaitanya Tree. And tonight, we will go from verses 84 to 104. So some very interesting associates of Lord Chaitanya will be discussed at this point in time. If you have any questions and comments as we go, then please ask. Is it? It gets recorded here. Okay. Verse 84. On the western side were the 43rd, 44th, and 45th branches, Sri Sanatan, Sri Rupa, and Anupam. They were the best of all. So this is an interesting description of the branches of the Chaitanya tree. We're hearing about the various devotees who are the branches of the Chaitanya tree. In other words, his associates. The associates are considered to be the branches of the tree because the tree is an analogy. That we have a Lord Chaitanya himself is the tree, the main trunk. Then the first main branches or main offshoots of the trunk are Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu. And then so many different branches which are coming off. And all of these branches are the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we have a description so far of many of the prominent personalities. Now we're hearing about personalities who are described by Krishna as Kaviraj Goswami as being the best of all. So we're talking about Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and Anu. So each one of these personalities is extremely significant. Because when you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are five parts of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which Amarendra Prabhu says are very important or significant. I'm not sure what his reference is, whether it's just his own realization or whether it's mentioned. But he mentions that the discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy, which will happen in the, thank you, it's possible. The discussion between Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is in Majjhima Lila chapter 8. Then we have, everything's okay. Then we have the Ratha Yatra pastime. Then we have the teachings of Rupa Goswami. Then we have the teachings of Sanatana Goswami. And then we have the Shikshastika. The Amarendra Prabhu points out these are the five significant parts of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that means the teachings here of Rupa and Sanatana are considered to be some of the principal sections of the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not, as we often hear, he only wrote the Shikshastika. And some people say he also spoke directly the Jagannath Ashtaka. And then not much else is directly attributed to him. In other words, they don't say that he wrote this or he wrote that. They say everything else was instructed to his associates like Ramananda Roy, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and they wrote, which is actually very similar to, say, Jesus as well. Jesus does not directly write, but everything is spoken to disciples, and then they write down what he has instructed. The same with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is interesting. So we are known as Rupa Nuga Vaishnavas, which means we are said to be the followers of Rupa Goswami. And that is significant because of all of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're said to be following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. Now, Rupa and Sanatan considered themselves junior to other associates. And in one sense, that is accurate and significant because if you look at the Gaura Ganadesh Topeka, for example, it will explain who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates are in Krishna's Leela, in Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Now, we know that Rupa and Sanatana are Manjuris, Rupa Manjari and Lavanga Manjari. So when it comes to them associating with, for example, Ramananda Roy and Dhruv Damodar, who are said to be Lalita and Vishaka, then they are supportive, or they are the servants of Manjaris and the servants of the Gopis. So the fact that Rupa Goswami, we're said to be Rupa Nugas, is significant because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us one of the main things which are emphasized in his teachings was that we should follow in the mood of the Manjaris or the maid servants of the Gopis. Devotees can also aspire to be Gopis. That's also possible. But generally, it is said that we aspire to be maidservants of the Gopis, which means Manjaris, a little bit younger in terms of age and so forth, which is pastimes. So the fact that we're Rupa Nugas means Rupa Goswami or Rupa Manjari is the principal maidservant of Srimati Radharani. And we are the followers of the principal maidservant of Srimati Radharani. So it is very significant, actually. So in this section tonight, we're going to hear about Rupa, Sanatan, Anupam, Jiva Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami. Now, it is said at the end of every chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita Nili, it says, Rupa Raghunatha Pade. I follow, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami says, I follow the footsteps of Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswamis. Now, what is the difference in the mood of the two personalities? Rupa Goswami, if they enter into a kunja and Radha and Krishna are associating, and only the Manjaris are allowed to enter and render service to Radha and Krishna, even the gopis don't enter when Radha and Krishna are sometimes privately associated. But the Manjaris are allowed to come. When Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari comes in, she immediately goes to Krishna and tends to Krishna and directly serves Krishna. Why? Because she understands this will give Radharani more pleasure. But Rati Manjari or Raghunath Das Goswami, he comes in and goes straight to Radharani because his love for Radharani exceeds his love for Krishna. So in the spiritual world, Rati Manjari thinks that I want to directly serve Srimati Radharani. Rupa Goswami says, I want to go to Krishna because that will please Radharani. Now, we are known as Rupa Nuga Vaishnavas. That's the mood that we have to take. We don't try to go direct, but we always try to understand. And this is what it means to be a first-class disciple. Right? A third-class disciple really doesn't know what's going on. They're just into, you know, I'm a disciple and you know, my guru. You see, sometimes the gurus come. Yeah, and there's disciples, they just have to be next to the guru and everything's about, I am the servant of the guru. It's Kanishtha mentality. It's Kanishtha mentality. We see it. Hopefully we don't do it ourselves, but we see it. So This is third class disciple. You know, everything is just on me and the guru. You know, I've seen devotees walk over other devotees to serve the guru. It's not the right move. Second class means you understand the guru's mood and you're serving, but still you make mistakes and not quite fully developed yet. But the first class disciple understands the mind of the guru. And to understand the mind of the guru means we will understand the mind of Krishna and Radha. And what is their mood? Now, so Rupa Goswami is teaching us the mood is we don't go directly to Radharani, for example. But if it means that Radharani will be more pleased if we go to Krishna and serve him, then we will do that. And that is first class, understanding the subtle desires of our Ishtadeva. So in the case of Rupa Goswami here, we're known as Rupa Nuga Vaishnavas. There are so many associates mentioned in this chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita. But we're known as Rupa Nuga Vaishnavas. Very significant. What is the mood of Rupa Goswami? How do we serve Rupa Goswami? How do we follow in that mood? So Rupa Goswami, as we know, is Rupa Manjari in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So in this verse, of the seven little words, it is being described that they were the best of all. I mean, that's a significant statement because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is listing many, many of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates in this chapter. And then he says, these are the best of all. Now, in some ways, they're not the most senior. You know, because their mood is to assist Sri Damodara and Ramananda Roy, for example. But they're considered the best of all. And actually, there's some writings by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur where he says Sanatana Goswami was Lord Chaitanya's favorite devotee. That's a very significant statement. The best of all. Lord Chaitanya so much appreciated Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. And their mood. And when it comes to, I mean, and he left his teachings with them. And their teachings, which are later in the Majja Lila, chapters 19 to 24 or so, these are said to be some of the most significant parts of the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we base, actually we base our entire practices of bhakti on the teachings of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. Prabhupada says that Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which he mentions in this section, is the most significant book of Rupa Goswami. And Prabhupada says the Nectar of Devotion is the law book for ISKCON, right, for the next 10,000 years. Everything we do is based upon the Nectar of Devotion. That is the law book. That's our practice. So we are Rupa Nuga Vaishnavas because everything we do is based on what we've learned from Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. And we will get to their teachings eventually. You know, we're not going to rush, but we'll get there eventually. Extremely significant teachings. You know, when we go through them, it will be, we'll go through it very carefully. There's so much within their teachings. And Sanatana Goswami's book, which is maybe his most famous book, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, is said to be the seminal book of the rest of the Goswami's writings. In other words, it was like the first book, and everything else is based upon what is written in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So it's extremely significant. So it says here, they are the best of all. Now, Anupam was their younger brother. I believe his name was Balabha, it says in the description.
Yes.
And then Balabha, Lord Chaitanya gave him the name of Anupam. Now, Lord Chaitanya met them in Ramkeli. Lord Chaitanya several times attempted to go to Vrindavan, but turned back. But actually, on this occasion, when he went to Ram Kaur, he was actually going to see Rupa and Sanatan. He told everyone, "I'm leaving to go to Vrindavan." He went to see Rupa, and then he came back to Puri. So he did that as several times. And then one time he went to Vrindavan. He actually went all the way to Vrindavan. So when he got there, he initiated them. And there wasn't even a jagya. In our tradition, actually, I mean, in ISKCON we do jagyas. But actually, in our Gaudiya tradition, we don't even have to do a jagya. The guru can just give you beads and give you your name. That's initiation. But we do the jagya. One of the reasons to do the jagya is because it is a samskara. Samskara means it leaves an impression on your mind, on your consciousness. Just like marriage ceremonies, you know, like, you know, in India, marriage ceremonies go for 1 day or 3 days or 7 or 5 days, like that. It leaves an impression on you. After, like, you know, 2 or 3 days, you think, okay, I won't forget this. Even 1 day, you know, it's significant. But, you know, like a 3-day wedding, a 5-day wedding, you know, it's a samskara, it's an impression. This is important. So initiation is like that. That's why we do the jagya and do everything. This is important. It leaves an impression on your consciousness. But actually, in our tradition, Lord Chaitanya initiated Rupa and Sanatan and Anupam just by giving them names and beads. So your name is Sanatan, your name is Rupa, your name is Anupam. Because that, in our tradition, that is the initiation. It is the commitment to the guru. And in their case, the guru was direct with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So as we read here, Anupam left his body shortly after these pastimes with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the initiation and so forth. It says that he was a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. So it says that he went back to Ayodhya in the spiritual world. So Rupa and Sanatan, they continued. And they went to Vrindavan. And Rupa Goswami performed many significant pastimes. Now, he left someone immediately after meeting Lord Chaitanya and getting initiated by him. Sanatan stayed because he wanted to tie up some governmental affairs before he left. But then the Nawab, Hussein Shah, he heard that Sanatan and Rupa were living in Ramkeli. But Sanatan sent a message saying, "I'm sick, I'm ill." But actually, he was just studying Bhagavatam with Brahmanas. You know, so then the Nawab came to see what was going on because he heard from his informants that they're not actually sick. So he went to Ramkeli. He saw Sanatan was not sick. And he said, "Okay, you come with me now to Orissa." Sanatan said, "No, I'm going to stay here with the Brahmanas." He said, "Okay, then I'll put you in jail." So he put him in jail. And now if you go to Ramkeli, you can see the jail where Sanatan Goswami was placed with him. But Rupa Goswami, when he left some money with a grocer. And he told Sanatan, so Sanatan got the money. He bribed the jail keeper. Also, because of his divine character, the jail keeper was attracted to him. And then he escaped. And the jail keeper said he drowned. He went to take bath, he jumped in with his chains and he drowned. So they told this, but actually he went to Vrindavan. And you read later in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that they kept crisscrossing. You know, Rupa and Anupam already in Vrindavan. They got there, they headed back down the Ganga to find Sanatan. Sanatan was on a different road. He passed them. They both met Lord Chaitanya. Rupa Goswami met him in Prayag, Allahabad. Sanatan Goswami met him in Benares. And that's where the teachings that we hear in Rupa and Sanatan Shiksha later in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that's where it took place. Yeah, Lord Chaitanya instructed Sanatan Goswami for 30 days in Benares, and Rupa Goswami was instructed for 10 days in Allahabad, Prayag. So then that's where the teachings have been recorded. So they were given a mission by Lord Chaitanya. That's They were given a mission by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go to Vrindavan and to perform significant services. And this is mentioned in this section and later on also. They were sent to Vrindavan to find the holy places of Krishna's pastimes, because 4,500 years had passed. And things were obscured in Vrindavan. People didn't know where the pastime places were. So they rediscovered through their meditation, by research. So now, I was just in Vrindavan a few weeks ago. Now we can go there. We can go to Radhakund, we can go to Govardhan, we can go to Varshana, we can go to Dundagram, we can go to Sanket, we can go to Prem Sarovar, we can go to so many places. And we know the significance of the places because they rediscovered. Yeah? Because Vrindavan was very much covered over time. So they had to rediscover the Leela Stans. So we have a great debt to them. They excavated Vrindavan. They brought it back to its glory so that we understand where the pastime places are. Secondly, they also had to build temples. Lord Chaitanya said build temples. So the first temple in Vrindavan was Madan Mohan Temple. Rupa Goswami built Govindaji Temple, which was very significant, which Aurangzeb ordered because it was so big, they could see the light from the temple down in Agra. So at least in Mathura, possibly Agra. So he ordered the temple to be ransacked, to be demolished, and they took off 5 levels off the temple. So they created these extraordinary temples to worship the Lord. They discovered the deities. The deities had been installed by Vrajanava, Krishna's grandson. And those deities were lost. They found the deities. We know the story of Govindadev. Rupa Goswami saw a cow coming on the hill for days on end, and the cow would drop its milk at the same place. And then he had a dream that the deity was there, and then he got the locals, and they dug up the deity of Govindadev, who is now in Jayapur, who's, one of the most... That deity is 5,000 years old. That's from Rajanava himself. They established all these deities. So they established the deities. They built the temples. They rediscovered the holy places. And then Lord Chaitanya said, write devotional literatures. So they wrote devotional literatures, which are now the books that we base our Krishna consciousness movement on. Very significant books. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Lalita Madhava and Vidagdha Madhava and Ujjwala Nilamani and Hamsaduta and Buddhava Sandesh and Brihad Bhagavatamrita and Sanatana Goswami's commentary on the 10th canto. All these different things. They wrote all those books for the benefit of the devotees. And then finally, Lord Chaitanya said, create Vaishnav Sadachar. Set the example of how devotees should live and behave. So when we read about their significant pastimes in this world and their example, then we understand how we should live and behave. It's like, we go to Vrindavan or Mayapur or Puri. How do we know what to do? Right? We hear about their example. The example of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami and the other Goswami, then we know what to do. Right? So they taught us all of these things. So they are as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, they are the best of all. They are the acharyas that we follow. Right? We are Rupa Nuga Vaishnavas, aspiring to follow Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami saw Sanatana Goswami as his guru. And Lord Chaitanya said Sanatana is his favorite devotee. Extremely significant personalities. Any points?
Somebody also, there's a place called Teri Padam. Teri Padam, where Rupa Goswami was writing Tamasindhu and the queen, they were taunting.
Tekadam. Tekadam. Kaili Kadam was up in Ram Kaili. Ekadamba's in Vrindavan, that's where he is. Any other points?
In Kekadam also, are there any team?
Kekadam. Yeah, the past on this.
Acting on your point, how to understand the mood of the group.
Then become advanced as a disciple. If you're a neophyte disciple, you don't understand. If you become a little advanced, you'll understand. So become advanced. Start practicing seriously, and then you'll understand the Guru. Otherwise, you know, devotees walk around for years. Oh, how do I understand the Guru? How do I understand? Become a little bit advanced, and you'll understand. Why are you wasting time? The devotees always ask these questions. Oh, how do I, you know, just do it. Why are you wasting time for? Chant Hare Krishna seriously, become a little advanced, then understand your Guru's mood. How do you understand the Guru's mood? Associate with the Guru. Listen to the Guru. Listen to his lectures. He'll tell you what his mood is. You know, we know Prabhupada's mood. We've got the Leelamrita. We've got his lectures. We've got his books. We know his mood. Get serious. Prabhupada said, get serious. Prabhupada's Guru said, go back to Godhead in this lifetime. Stop wasting your time. Become a serious devotee. You know, otherwise, devotees walk around. How do I understand the Guru's mood? Just understand it. Get serious about being a devotee. Among these branches, Rupa and Sanatan were principal. Anupam, Jiva Goswami, and others, headed by Rajendra, were their sub-branches. So, in the purport, we hear about Jiva Goswami. Now, Jiva Goswami was the nephew, and he was actually born in Ramkeli, a very significant place. And I was just in Mayapur a few days ago, and Srirada Vallabha Prabhu, you know him. Used to be here. You know him?
Yeah.
So, you know him? So, Radha Vallabha Prabhu was telling me that he's designing the new temple in Ramkeli, which is Jiva Goswami's birthplace and where Rupa and Sanatan live. So, you know, ISKCON is now developing that as well. So it's a significant place we can all go and visit in the future. So, Jiva Goswami is still known to be the greatest scholar in Indian history. He wrote 400,000 Sanskrit verses. And if you read the pastimes, he was the greatest of the scholars. And there are pastimes where Rupa Goswami chastises him for defending him, actually. Where one scholar came and he was, you know, a very great scholar. He came to visit Rupa Goswami, and Jiva Goswami was his Sanskrit editor. He'd studied Sanskrit in Benares and different places. So, but he was young. He was their nephew. He was a young person. And this elderly scholar came and he said to Rupa Goswami, you know, if you like, I can edit your books. Rupa Goswami had a few minutes. He said, that would be very nice. Thank you for doing it. So he edited. And then he said to Rupa Goswami, I found some defect. And Jiva Goswami was listening. And then the devotee went down to the Jamuna to take part. The Jiva Goswami also went down to Jamuna to get some water. And he said to the elderly scholar, he said, what were the defects you found? And he said, you know, so this happened, you know, this Sanskrit defect is there. And Jiva Goswami said, there's no defect there. He said, I've already edited it. And he explained to the elderly scholar that there was no defect. And the elderly scholar was amazed. So this young scholar, so learned. So he goes back to Rupa Goswami and he said, your nephew is a genius and he's corrected me and there is no defect there. And then he left. So Rupa Goswami, he called Jiva and he said, you need to go away. He said, you have corrected an elderly person. Corrected a senior person. You need to go away. You're not following etiquette properly. So then he sent him away, and Jiva Goswami was so mortified, so desperately anxious that he'd been sent away by Rupa Goswami. So he went down to Jamuna. He was living in a crocodile hole on the bank of the Jamuna, and living very austerely. He was fasting, and people were hearing as this sadhu, young sadhu, and he's doing so much austerity. So Sanatana Goswami understood it was Jiva. He went back to Rupa. And he said, what are Lord Chaitanya's teachings? He said, Nama Ruchi Vaishnava Seva Jiva Daya. He said, oh, Jiva Daya. Give mercy to Jiva. Mm-hmm. And then Rupa Goswami understood. Nanda wants me. So they called him back. And then he was put into their service again. So he was the greatest scholar. But he was the most humble person as well. So actually, when you really become learned, you also become humble. When you're really learned. Sometimes when we're becoming learned, we become proud. So I know so many shlokas. I know so many facts. I can quote so many things. You know, you become like a proud person. But when you become actually advanced, you actually become humble, even though you're such a learned personality. You become very humble. It's like, you know, David Mridaswami is. This weekend he's doing Vyasa Puja. You know, Maharaj is extremely qualified and powerful. Right? But he does not keep the respect for himself. That's actual Vaishnava Sadhachan. That means someone's actually got realization. I don't keep the respect for themselves. So Jiva Goswami was like that. So if you read the purport, it explains his extraordinary personality. He was the most learned person. And actually, when Rupa and Snat left the planet, Jiva Goswami became the head of the Sampradaya. When Janavamata left and everyone left, he was the Sampradaya Acharya. Right? The entire Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya was under his direction. Such a qualified personality. So he's so materially qualified and spiritually qualified, incredibly powerful personality. So if you read through the purport, you can understand more about it. You can read more about all these personalities, understand.
The
Nityasiddhas. Any other points? By the will of the Supreme Gardener, the branches of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami grew many times over, expanding throughout the Western countries and covering the entire region. Extending to the borders of the river Sindhu and the Himalayan mountain valleys, these two branches expanded throughout India, including all the places of pilgrimage, such as Vrindavan, Mathura, and Hardwar. The fruits of love of Godhead, which fructified on these two branches, were distributed in abundance. Tasting these fruits, everyone became mad after them. So they spread, Prabhupada explains in this section. Prabhupada said the western side of India, after Parikshit Maharaj left 5,000 years ago, the western side of India became more influenced by the Muslim and Islamic tradition and Persian kind of tradition, which were falling, you know, Turkish and Greek, you know, that western side. There was some connection there, some trade and so forth. And some bad habits got gradually picked up. And then as time went by, in the western side of India, Prabhupada says, actually became more fallen, more degraded. And then the Muslims invaded, and then they destroyed a lot of the culture, and then people, you know, became more and more impure. So when Rupa and Sanatan were there, they preached all through that western side of India, and their influence began to lift it up again, back to the Vedic cultures. So, as Prabhupada says, we need to spread the culture of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, ISKCON will take over, will spread throughout the world through cultural conquest. He said this particularly about England. He said, do cultural programs, do dramas, music, art, all of these things. This will attract people, right? Cultural attraction. And we see that when we show the culture of Krishna consciousness, people become attracted. People are actually attracted to culture. Just like, you know, the Queen of England, she passed away. I was in Vrindavan. So it was actually good I was in Vrindavan, because then I missed the whole, you know, media storm, which came. But people are very attracted to these things. You know, when Harry and Meghan got married, I don't know how long ago, 5-6 years ago maybe, probably. I think it was like 1.5 billion people watched that. Something like that. So there's only like 7 billion of us on Earth. That means like, you know, 1 in 5 or something's watching the wedding.
1/3.
Yeah. Or yeah, maybe might have been 1/3 or something. Like, you know, so many people are interested. They're attracted to these ancient cultures. Monarchy. Everyone says, oh, monarchy is outdated. No, it's not. You're interested in it. People actually want a pious king. That's actually what everyone wants. I mean, wouldn't it be amazing if we had a pious king? You know, a powerful king like Arjuna or Pariksit or Yudhishthira. Everyone would love, you know, an actual kshatriya who rules and keeps order and piety throughout the land. That's what we all want, actually. So people say in Kali Yuga we don't want these things, but actually everyone's attracted to culture. So the more culture we spread in Krishna culture, the more people become attracted. We're actually attracted to these things. When we show our culture, we show our art. Just like in Italy, the devotees have an art gallery. Beautiful paintings. People are attracted to these things. Dramas. Just like on Sunday for Maharaj's Guest, there'll be a drama. We hope it's good. Good dramas are good. Yeah, sometimes the devotee dramas are not so... you know, maybe, you know, a bit critical, but a little amateur. But when the dramas are really good, you know, they become so attractive, captivating. We have to learn to act. If you're going to be in the drama, learn to act. And you know, sometimes the voters are like, oh, people don't do that in real life. You know, you don't say, it becomes very, for me, when I watch it, it doesn't feel natural. But when you see devotees, you know that devotee Matty does? Because the kid, Matty, he's a brilliant actor. And his wife, actually, Subhadra as well. Like, if they do drama, like first class, like Hollywood level, really, really good. If we can maybe, so maybe you're friends with them. Yeah, speak to them, encourage them. You're good as well. Yeah, you are. I've seen you in dramas. Yeah. Make like good dramas. Get them together if you can. I mean, anyways. Doesn't have time, but yeah, you make really good bones. Culturally, it's attractive. And Prabhupada said, we will conquer the cultural presentations of Krishna consciousness. Yeah. And, you know, the books, everything we do, the music, everything has to be first class. Sometimes the Harinams aren't very attractive. I'm just saying, honestly, sometimes the Harinams are not very attractive. Like, you know, you hear them and the instruments are not being played nicely. Even the chanting's not, you know, it should be attractive, all these things. Like, you know, we see when Indrajumna Swami does the Harinams, you know, it's all colorful, it's coordinated, you know, there's so many things. That's attractive to people. You know, so this is a cultural conquest. So if we make everything cultural, then we will conquer it, Prabhupada said. People will become attracted to Krishna consciousness. Right. So we have to be like that. It has to be a cultural presentation of Krishna consciousness, which that will attract people. Prabhupada says, it says in this verse that tasting the fruits makes one mad. Right? The whole purpose of Krishna consciousness is to give people Krishna consciousness and make them mad about Krishna. You have to become mad about Krishna. Right? Nothing else in our lives, just Krishna. I was speaking to one devotee today. I was speaking to them. And they were saying to me, they're becoming more and more involved in Krishna consciousness. But they said, sometimes when I do my art, I like to listen to music. But they said, then the other day I was doing my art, I was listening to kirtan. And I said to them, it has to become like this, where just all the material things just go out of our consciousness. And there's only Krishna. That's it. We have to get mad about Krishna. All we think about is Krishna. All we talk about is Krishna. Everything we do is related to Krishna. There's like a mad person. Only Krishna. No, just Krishna. No, just Krishna. Yeah. Mad. You become like mad. We were listening to His Holiness Kadambakanan Swami. I just went to see Maharaj in Vrindavan. We've got some nice association with him. And Maharaj was saying, when I lead kirtan, I want to make the devotees mad. Yeah, that's the way Maharaj leads kirtan. Yeah, I used to play mridanga for him sometimes, in kirtan. Yeah, he goes, Namo Om Vishnu Padaya, Namaste Saraswati, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And as soon as he hits Maha Mantra, he goes like full pace. Most kirtan leaders don't do that. I don't do that. But Maharaj used to get to, you play mridanga for him, and suddenly he just takes off straight away. Right? It's just like, let's go mad right now. Just full blown kirtan. Yeah, so he just wants the devotees to dance for hours in madness. That's how he leads kirtan. Right? So that's how we should spread Krishna consciousness. Right? If we are mad and enthusiastic about Krishna, then other people will become attracted. One time, one devotee, he was a top book distributor. So he said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I'm going temple to temple to teach the other devotees how to distribute the books. He said, what should I teach them? Prabhupada said, just teach them to be enthusiastic. Because if you're enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness, other people will become enthusiastic. It doesn't matter so much what you say about the book. You give someone the book, but if you're enthusiastic, you have to have the book. The book will solve all of your problems.
And infectious disease.
Yeah. 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 It has changed my life. You should take it. People are like, okay. How much do you want? Take the full set. Take the full set, get so enthusiastic. That's what people are attracted to, enthusiasm. So that's how we spread Krishna consciousness. It says here, they were making people mad, tasting the fruits of love of Godhead. That's how we spread Krishna consciousness. That's how Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness. Right? He made everyone mad and attracted to Krishna. They say the books don't serve the purpose of what you said. I don't understand what's the point.
You have to sell the book. Somehow, like, you sell the book to give you success, happiness.
Yeah, well, don't say those things. Say, Prabhupada said, tell them it gives you Krishna consciousness. Why are you telling them it gives you success? Who cares about success? Read the book and your life will become a failure. Tell them that. Say, read this book and your life will become completely materially dysfunctional. Tell them that. They'll buy it. Give them Krishna consciousness. Don't tell them all false things. You know, in the back of Godhead magazine in the 1970s, on the inside cover, it used to say there was pictures of people. And they used to say, you know, I read Bhagavad Gita because it makes me peaceful. I chant Hare Krishna because, you know, it makes me more. And when Prabhupada read it, Prabhupada said, don't say that. Say, I chant Hare Krishna because it gives me attraction to Krishna. I chant Hare, give them the real thing. You know, these days, sometimes we say, oh, you know, it makes you peaceful. I've been peaceful since I joined the movement. You know, we tell people, oh, you know, chant Hare, you become peaceful. There is no peace. Where's the peace? You know, the world's not peaceful, so. Yeah, don't say material things. Just say, give it to them. You know, say, you want to become spiritually advanced. You want to become self-realized. This book, Science of Self-Realization, buy it and become self-realized. Material success, who cares? Hopefully your life will fall apart. Yeah, well then.
But they also say that, okay, somehow we distribute this book to them. We have a pretty good book, they will be blessed.
I distributed books for years. If you're sincere and you're touching their heart and they can sense that there's like a purity there or like a sense of, you know, you're doing it for spiritual reasons, they will buy the book. You don't have to worry about all this material stuff.
Just
tell them, give up everything and surrender to Krishna. What's your problem? That's enough. You know, just tell them that. Okay. The people in general on the western side of India were neither intelligent nor well-behaved. But by the influence of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they were trained in devotional service and good behavior. In accordance with the directions of the revealed scriptures, both Goswamis excavated the lost places of pilgrimage and inaugurated the worship of deities in Vrindavan. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, the 46th branch of the tree, was one of the most dear servants of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He left all his material possessions to surrender completely unto the Lord and live at his lotus feet. Now we heard about Rupa, Sanatana, Anupam, Jiva. Now we're hearing about Raghunath Das. Now, Raghunath Das Goswami is described as being renunciation personified. He was the most renounced. But actually, he accredits his renunciation to Sanatana Goswami. He says that Sanatana Goswami made me taste the bitter fruit of renunciation. Tapasya. He said, actually, Sanatana was the one who made me renounced. Because how do we advance in Krishna consciousness? It's by association. So you find advanced devotees. The more advanced the devotee, the more you will advance. You can't. It's hard to advance if you don't associate with advanced devotees. That's why you have to find advanced devotees and associate with them. Hear from them, serve them, associate with them. Then you will become advanced also. That's the system. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he said he did not want to take the bitter fruit of renunciation, but Sanatana Goswami gave it to him. And then he became renounced. He became, and he was the most renounced person. He was born a millionaire in today's standards. A millionaire, like super wealthy. Anything he wanted, he had it. Super wealthy. His father and uncle were tax collectors. They were so wealthy. And his wife, it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, was like an apsara. A beautiful one. But he had no attraction. And he met Lord Chaitanya when he was younger. actually associated with Haridas Thakur and heard about Lord Chaitanya, and just by hearing about him, he became attracted. And he kept running away. He kept leaving home. His parents had to pay guards to stay with him all the time. And his mother said, maybe we should tie him up. And his father said, what's the point? He's got a beautiful wife. He's got unlimited wealth. And he's not interested. What do we do? They kept guards with him to stop him running away all the time. He wouldn't even sleep in the bed with his wife. He would sleep out on the balcony, on the floor. And his wife would say, come in, let's have kids. Okay. So renounced. That's an advanced personality. No material attraction. Spiritual world, he was Rati Manjari. Means he's one of the Manjaris. So, and he's so attached to Radharani, more than Krishna. So attached to Radharani. Everything is just Radharani. You know, there's pastimes later on, because then he lives at Radhakund and he excavates Radhakund. Deva Goswami and so they excavate Radhakund. And then one time, he's only living on buttermilk. Prabhupada says here in this section, he was awake for 22 and a half hours a day. Just like the other day, I came back from India. We left Calcutta at 2 in the morning. Flew back. We got some sleep on the plane. First leg to Bangkok, 3 hours. And then next leg, 9 hours back to Melbourne. I forced myself not to sleep. Because then, you know, when I get back to Melbourne, I want to sleep at night time. Otherwise, you get jet lag and start sleeping. But then when I got back, I was very tired. You know, I only had about 3 hours sleep. I was thinking, you know, Raghunath Das Goswami having 1.5 hours sleep. He just keeps going. You know, but like I'm still jet lagged, I'm still tired. You know, Prabhupada, you know, Hari Sori Prabhu used to travel with Prabhupada all around the world. He said Prabhupada never got jet lagged. You know, I don't even know what that means. I don't even know what it means. You know, like if I have 3 hours sleep, I'm wiped out. You know, I can do it one day, but then if you do it 2 days or three, like I just become dysfunctional. You know, I just become like, you know, like, you know, you can't function. And they're doing it every day. 1.5 hours sleep. Prabhupada was only resting about 3-4 hours a day. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, 3-4 hours a day. Like, incredible. And I'd say, Raghunath Das Goswami is the most pronounced. And he would only take buttermilk in a leaf cup. And one time they brought him because they thought he's only having buttermilk once a day, charge. So let's give a bigger leaf cup so he can drink more. So one devotee was bringing the charge to him, brought him like a bigger leaf cup. And he took the cup and he said, oh, you know, where's the, how come it's bigger? Oh, I got it down there at Saki Stali. There's bigger leaves there, so I made bigger. He got the, like, threw it on the ground. He ran into his kutir and shut the doors. Because Saki Stali is Chandravali's grove. Even just hearing Saki Stali, Chandravali's grove, you know, right around his main competitor, he was so angry. Don't bring me anything. So dedicated to Radharani. The most advanced devotee. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami is the Sambandha Acharya. Rupa Goswami is the Abhideya Acharya. Raghunath Das Goswami is the Prayojana Acharya. He's showing us what the goal is. So this is Raghunath Goswami, the most advanced. So we're hearing about his renunciation. He is renunciation personified. There's no one more renounced than him. When Raghunath Das Goswami approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri, the Lord entrusted him to the care of Swarup Damodar, his secretary, Thus, they both engaged in the confidential service of the Lord. He rendered confidential service to the Lord for 16 years at Jagannath Puri, and after the disappearance of both the Lord and Sri Damodar, he left Jagannath Puri and went to Vrindavan. So the Chaitanya Charitamrita is written based on those 16 years, very much based upon the 16 years Raghunath Das Goswami served Sri Damodar in Lord Chaitanya's association in Jagannath Puri. Because Chaitanya Bhagavat focuses more on the Mayapur pastimes, but there's less about Puri. So Chaitanya Charitamrita is more about Puri, the later pastimes, the Panchalila, the Manchalila. So this is based upon what Raghunath Das Goswami spoke to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. There he's written it down. So these are the highest teachings of love of Godhead, which have been given to us. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami intended to go to Vrindavan to see the lotus feet of Rupa and Sanatan and then give up his life by jumping from Govardhan Hill. Thus, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami came to Vrindavan, visited Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, and offered them his obeisances. These two brothers, however, did not allow him to die. They accepted him as their third brother and kept him in their company. Because Raghunath Das Goswami was an assistant to Sri Damodar, he knew much about the external and internal features of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Thus, the two brothers, Rupa and Sanatan, always used to hear of this from him. Raghunath Das Goswami gradually gave up all foods and drink but a few drops of buttermilk. Such an advanced person. So later in the Anchalila, we'll hear more about the renunciation of Raghunath Das Goswami. As a daily duty, he regularly offered 1,000 obeisances to the Lord, chanted at least 100,000 holy names, and offered obeisances to 2,000 Vaishnavas. So it says that his vrats were like lines in stone. Right? It's like when you make a line in the stone, it is there. That was his vows. Chanting every day. Sometimes we don't finish our rounds. Every day he would finish his rounds, 100,000. I said that's 64 rounds minimum. 2,000 obeisances to devotees. Imagine if you had to bow down 2,000 times today, or 3,000 times. You did you went to the deities, you offered obeisances 1,000 times. How many times do you bow down to the deities? Maybe 5 times. Imagine 1,000 times, and then 2,000 devotees. There's not even 2,000 devotees in the temple. That means you have to offer obeisance to everyone about 100 times. That's what he's doing every day. Fixed lines in the stone. Day and night he rendered service within his mind to Radha Krishna, and for 3 hours a day he discoursed about the characteristics of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami took 3 baths daily in Radha Kund Lake. As soon as he found a Vaishnava residing in Vrindavan, he would embrace him and give him all respect. So he would take bath in Radha Kund 3 times a day. But if he had to pass stool, then he would go to the well, take the water, and then he would wash himself. He would never bathe in Radha Kund if he was not suci. We should follow these examples of Raghunath. So, the most reverence for Radha Kund. Radha Kund is the most holy of the whole. He engaged himself in devotional service for more than 22 and a half hours a day. And for less than 2 hours, he slept, although on some days that also was not possible. I am struck with wonder when I hear about the devotional service he executed. I accept Srila Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami as my guides. I shall later explain very elaborately how all these devotees met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, so we'll stop there for tonight. Tomorrow night, we're having an overview class. So we'll have an overview of chapters 5, I think, till 9. Next Monday we'll have class. Next Tuesday we'll have the exam, closed book exam. So tomorrow night we'll do an overview, and following Tuesday we'll do. And then Kartik begins. I don't think I'll be giving classes in Kartik. So we'll probably have some time off. After Kartik, maybe we'll do some more classes. Let's see. So this year has been a funny year. This year, it just feels like making plans, I don't know, for me at least, seeing many other do as well, very irregular year. So even with the course, we've covered 10 chapters this year, which is good, but things stop and start. It's been a little bit strange. I'm hoping next year we have more of a run. But it's been good. Okay, so tomorrow night we'll do an overview class. Please go. So Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you, Prabhu. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me back. Very enlivening to be back. My chest is a little too much Vrindavan dust on it. Maybe I'll get it. I'm okay, but just. Went to Vrindavan and Puri in my. How you doing? That's what? Easy. Try and come over soon. I'm taking everything. So whatever you got, bring it. I'll get past in the morning. Up to you.
I can bring it
out. It's up to you. Like, I'm taking everything. Nothing's working fast. But if you have something, I'll take it. Everyone's giving me everything. I was in Vrindavan, they give me this, give me that, and this, that. It doesn't change anything dramatically.
Is it dry or?
Both dry and then moist as well. It is what it is. No, just from the coughing and everything, it's kind of. I'm okay, but it's just, there's some imbalance there, like a kappa imbalance. No, it's not a big deal. But, everyone's given me everything. Like, I was in Mayapur and Brunel, take this, take this, take this. Nothing's changing. It's gradually. Just give me anything. I don't care.
Yeah,
I've had licorice, I've had all sorts of stuff. Yeah. Since Vrindavan. 2-3 weeks. It's okay, I'm okay. But just, taking time. But if you've got something, I'll take it. Don't think it's all going to just change everything. Everyone gives me, they gave me the, take this and we'll stop it. Didn't work. I've lost faith in the medical system.
Ginger tea and black pepper.
I've been taking that as well. Yeah, that's not working either.
Viruses.
Yeah, it takes time, that's it.
Yeah.
Turn them off. Good to see you all. Okay, I'll see you soon. Yeah, he does actually. If I bring it next week, I might not come the week after. We'll work it out. We'll do it. Unless I bring it on the weekend, but then you'd have to give it back to me by Tuesday. You can do it? Maybe I'll bring it on the weekend. Just you. Hello. Where's the baby?
The baby's not here.
Oh, parents. That's good. Good help.
After 2 years, I'm going to
attend that. Yeah, yeah, it's good. Yeah, good that you can get some help. That's the system. We all live by ourselves those days, you know, which is, you know, I mean, there's advantages, but it's also a lot of disadvantages. Yes. So it's good to have.
We're planning to go in half. Pretty much, yeah. I have half of the car people who there.
Really?
Half of.
Cool. You go to Vrindavan as well?
Yes, Mayapur, Puri, a couple of guys. And then Vrindavan, Varsan, Jaipur.
Sounds good.
I think everything goes well. There and everything.
Doesn't matter what you do in Vrindavan, then Vrindavan has its own. Vrindavan will do what Vrindavan wants to do. But just go there. That's the main thing.